Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to have a fun show today. There's a new book out. It's called More Than Snow, A Guide to Winter Foraging with Recipes for Holiday Cookies. And I've seen photos of those cookies. Haven't tried them yet, but I will at some point very soon, if I'm not mistaken. And it's going to be fun talking with the author, Martha Wright, about that. And she'll be with us in just a minute. But first, wandering into the studio is Shannon Kleiber, Wisconsin Public Radio's own Shannon Kleiber. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Larry.
It's nice to have you here to help me out.
Great to be here.
You know, here we are, listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, and this is Giving Tuesday. So as you listen to Shannon and I talk, I hope you'll think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2022. And here we've got 2023 right around the corner. This would be a good time to take some action during our year-end member drive. So give the programs you rely on a strong start in the new year. And you can do that by going to WPR.org and making a contribution, or go to 888-202-2552. And this is kind of a last day in one day way, isn't it?
It is. That's right, Larry. It is the last day of WPR's Giving Tuesday Challenge. And a group of generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds when 500 people, that could be you, step up to support the programs you count on.
And it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting the programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and your participation is absolutely vital. Be one of the 500 people to meet this challenge before midnight. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have, if I'm not mistaken, more than 50,000 members right now. And when you donate to WPR, guess what? We'll go to 50,001. No, it's actually more than that. But I tell you what, when we put all those people together and all those contributions together, it makes up for the largest source of our funding.
This is how it happens. Your support is how it happens, and it's powerful. You make possible all the WPR programs, like the Larry Mueller Show, that you enjoy and that so many others do as well. You make them possible. Make your gift now. Choose the amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think I first heard of Wisconsin Public Radio at home. My parents, when I was just a little kid, would have it on the radio. And how did you find us? Were you scanning the dial? Maybe a friend recommended great music, the high-quality news, the Larry Mueller Show, maybe?
Yeah.
And here you are, still tuned in because you like what you hear.
And I remember being in the backseat of my parents' car listening to public radio. That was like so many kids. That's how we first heard it. And because you like this, you like what you hear, you can help pay for WPR listening. You choose the amount, maybe $100 or $10 a month. Whatever the amount you choose is right for you. Become our next donor at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Black Friday and Cyber Monday are about shopping and finding the best deals. And today, Giving Tuesday, is about supporting the organizations that have a positive impact on our communities and the world. Join the movement with your contribution for WPR's essential public service. You and your neighbors have access to independent journalism, diverse perspectives, and world-class music on Wisconsin Public Radio. And that's thanks to your financial support. Make your gift now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during this year-end member drive. Larry Mueller here with Shannon Kleiber. Really happy to be here to talk with you about the WP programs you enjoy. They're possible thanks to your support. Your contribution could be $10 a month, might be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, it'll make a big difference for you and the entire community.
That's right, Larry. And it is so easy. Giving to WPR just takes a few minutes of your time. And a gift in any amount, say $10 a month,
That comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And our Giving Tuesday challenge is still in effect. When 500 people make a gift for WPR by end of day today, $25,000 from generous members will be secured for the WPR programs you rely on.
And I think we already have 314.
Yes, I see that. That's terrific.
So,
but we can keep going.
Yeah, let's try to get to at least 400 by the end of the show. I tell you what, there are some other reasons for you to contribute. You can provide hunger relief in your area, your own area. You can ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts with your donation of $10 or $20 a month. You can do it right now. It starts with your contribution at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
Now is also a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. Ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You just don't have to think about it. Set it up and get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Marta in Madison says, every day I learn timely and interesting things about almost anything and everything. Thank you. And Adam McFarland says, I enjoy so many programs and contributing is also a joy. That's pretty cool.
It is cool. I love hearing the listener comments and how much they love the programs and how much they mean to them. And WPR is supported by those listeners, by you. That means your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Shannon, thank you. You come back and visit with us again?
I would love to.
Why don't you just sit here and listen? You can ask questions of our guest too, Martha Wright. Why not? Shannon is also a very accomplished baker and cook, as I understand it. So she might have contribute as well. So we'll see. Well, let's bring Martha Wright in here. Her book is titled More Than Snow. It's a guide to winter foraging with recipes for holiday cookies. I've had a chance to go through the whole book. It's really a lot of fun. Martha Wright lives in northwest Wisconsin, teaches courses on foraging. And as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. What foods are you hoping to forage this winter? Or you want to know how to do it? Have you used foraged foods in your home? Join in. Your number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Martha Wright, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Larry.
So foraging, somebody might say, what the heck is foraging? And I think everybody probably has a pretty good idea, but what is it to you?
It is when I go outdoors and find things to eat that I am not growing in my own garden, things that I would not necessarily find in a store. Go out in my backyard and pick things that I can make into a salad for my lunch, or in this case, out in the snow, picking things I can add to cookies for my holiday cookie platter.
That holiday cookie platter looks delicious. You have a great photo of all of the cookies from your book in your book, and they look just lovely. How'd you begin foraging?
When I was just a little girl, I remember my mom introducing me to a couple of plants that her mother had prepared for the family when she was young, and just kind of always knew about that. You know, there's a few things out there. Well, as I got older and looked into it more, there's a lot more than a few things. So I really got started when I had a couple of children of my own back in the early 90s who had some health problems. I started looking into better nutrition, some simple herbal remedies I could do just to boost their immune systems. And I, in that process, found more information on edible wild plants.
Pretty cool. And I understand you involved your children in this whole process of foraging.
sometimes on purpose and sometimes not so much. I went out one day, they were all out in the woods helping their dad cut firewood, and I showed up, and I'm like, why do I smell onions? What are you guys eating? Well, at that time, I didn't know about wild leeks or ramps, as a lot of people call them. But, yeah, they had found, oh, these leaves over here, Mom. And they had been making a meal off of them. Thankfully, it was a safe item. I did end up another time calling poison control to say, green nightshade berries, is my son going to be okay?
Oh, my goodness. Was he okay on that?
Yes, and he had probably only eaten one. They don't taste good. But, yeah, I had that one kid that would help himself, and I had to kind of rein that in and say, you have to come and ask me first. But, no, I did involve my children in, you know, picking things. And they had their favorite things. When spring came around and we'd start having nettles in soup, that was an enthusiastic, yes, let's have nettles. Dandelion greens, not so much. They're pretty bitter. So when I thought I was going to make a dish with dandelion greens one time and we sat down to eat, no. We had to come up with an alternative meal quickly. I learned a lot as I went.
And your daughter, by the way, wasn't your daughter somewhat influential in getting you to write this cookbook?
Yes, she was. I was talking about, you know, what could I do that I could put out there for people, and that would have been probably September of last year when we were talking about the book, and she says, well, what about doing cookies with, you know, holiday cookies with foraged ingredients.
Well, I'm glad she did.
She took a lot of the pictures for the book also.
Yeah, that is absolutely great. You mentioned, I think, in passing of saving money. I mean, really, is this idea, can we appreciate the idea of saving money through foraging? Can foraging really lower the cost of a grocery bill?
Absolutely. Depending on how dedicated you are to it. No, I just, a lot of, like I said about the salad, you know, I go out and I can gather, I still use some lettuce that I grow in my garden, but more than half of the salad ends up being foraged ingredients.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about where you forage. There's certainly galleries, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
In place to kind of protect or maybe prevent foragers?
Yes, there are. We have federal land in our state, like the Ice Age Trail would be an example, or the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway. Those are up here. You know, I have access to those lands up here. Federal says berries and mushrooms on that land. They prohibit freshwater mussels, shells, wildflowers. Some spots have limits on how much of things you can harvest. The state land, like, for instance, near me, there's the Stour Seven Lakes State Trail. The state allows edible fruits, nuts, mushrooms, wild asparagus, and watercress, and any invasive plants. You're welcome to take as much as you want, but the state prohibits harvesting wild leeks on state land.
Is that right?
Some people call them, yes.
I wonder why.
There's concern about decimating the plant through commercial harvesting.
Yeah, that makes some sense. Well, we've got the federal, we've got the state. What about the county? Are there county?
Yes, there's county too. I did check with I'm in Barron County, and I am right next to a county forest. So I spend a lot of time in that county forest. I checked with the forester, and he said for Barron County, the rules are the same as the state. But every county can have, you know, they can make their own guidelines.
Yeah, and I imagine that might even relate to city as well. Any city could.
Yes, yes. Municipal varies. You need to check with them to ask. And another thing, especially with municipal, if you're looking at a park, you want to ask about pesticide and herbicide use.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think usually when people think about foraging, they think about getting let's go deep into the woods. But that is not necessarily true. As you know, why would you have city rules otherwise?
Right. Yes. And I do a lot. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have a large backyard. I probably do more of my foraging in my backyard than I do in the county forest.
You do?
Yes.
What do you find?
A, you know, wild backyard. When I'm talking about salad, I'm talking about things like violet leaves, sheep sorrel, wood sorrel, daisy leaves.
Well, I'm gonna ponder that for a minute because Shannon Kleiber has walked back into the studio here. She hasn't walked back in. She kind of rolled in on her chair to talk with us again about our year-end member drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio's Giving Tuesday, Global Celebration of Generosity. So I hope you'll choose WPR this Giving Tuesday and make a gift for the programs that keep you and so many others informed and inspired on the Ideas Network. Thank you for making a difference in your community with your gift, and you can do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Yeah, it's fun to be here, hearing about foraging and things we might do during the holidays, the kind of programming you'll hear on WPR. So you could make an even greater impact when you give now. $25,000 will be released when 500 people, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by end of day today.
A group of members have created this Giving Tuesday challenge to inspire your support of the programs you and your entire community rely on.
I think we can do this. Let's meet this challenge. Your gift of any amount now makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
With 24 hours a day of locally and nationally sourced talk programs here on the Ideas Network, we've aired about 9,000 hours.
Wow.
Wow. Amazing. I have to figure out how many hours I've been. What's 90 times 250? It's about 250.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Here, I thought she was going to come up with the right number.
Many, many great hours of interesting conversation and information.
Well, I tell you what, you know you can count on as a listener on a great variety when you tune into the Ideas Network.
And as a donor, you make it possible. Make your year-end gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you do, you make amazing things happen.
And whether you've given before or you're making your first ever donation, sign up for ongoing monthly gifts.
That's a great idea. Yeah, and choose the amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It is so easy. It just takes a few minutes.
Since 2010, WPR members have provided more than 400,000 meals through food bank thank you gifts. Join together with your fellow WPR members this drive to provide hunger relief to people in your community. Ask for one of the food bank gifts with your donation of $10 or $20 a month. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. The Coughing Larry Mueller here with the wonderful and talented Shannon Kleiber to talk with you about our year-end member drive. Listener support is our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really has an important impact.
And whether you've given before, you're making your first ever donation, you can sign up for the monthly gifts.
Exactly. A group of generous members also have created this Giving Tuesday challenge, a Giving Tuesday challenge of $25,000, which will be released when 500 people, including you, make a gift of support. So let's meet that challenge. Your gift, any amount, now makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you can make an even greater impact when you give. And it's this $25,000 gift. It which will be released when 500 people, including you, make a gift by end of day today.
You know, the little things we spend money on add up over time. Maybe you buy a morning coffee or pick up a bag of chips or a candy bar to get you through the afternoon. You can easily spend $20 a month on small expenses, but they're an important part of the day.
And so is listening to WPR. Like the money you spend on a well-deserved treat, make your gift of $20 a month now for the programs that enrich your daily life at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Sherry in Menominee Falls says, I absolutely love WPR. The shows are informative, interesting, and entertaining. I especially love the Larry Mueller show, probably because of the appearance of Shannon Kleiber.
<Sorry. laughs>
Thanks very much for your support, Sherry. I really appreciate it.
I love hearing that. But hearing about Sherry in Menominee Falls is wonderful. And you're out there, too, just thinking about maybe should I do this now? Should I call? And your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you.
We're talking about winter foraging and what you can turn into cookies and other things through that winter foraging with our guest, Martha Wright. Larry Mueller here, by the way. And her book is called More Than Snow. The subtitle's A Guide to Winter Foraging with Recipes for Holiday Cookies. Questions or comments or maybe an experience to share about foraging, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can email us the email address ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. You know, maybe we could talk about breaking down, Martha, the wide variety of plants to forage in the winter. Surprising, there are several that you can that we can look for.
Yes, there are. And we were talking earlier about what I can get out of my own backyard. Most of the items in the book did come from my yard or close by. One of the pine, for example, because that's so widespread over the state, readily available. I have several of them right along the edge of my backyard. So easy to get at, easy to harvest, easy to use. That is one of my favorite wild edibles is the pine.
And do you have an oak tree in your backyard?
The oak trees are on the edge of the county forest. I don't have any right in my yard.
But you get those acorns.
Yes. Yes. Just out behind the shed and into the county forest just a little ways. Now, most people probably know where there's an oak tree nearby where they live. This was not the best year. Last year, acorns were abundant. I was out there in October picking them up under the trees. This year, I thought I was going to teach a class on using acorns, and I could barely find enough to get a small container. I ended up not teaching the class because I couldn't find acorns.
Oh, sorry for that.
They come and go. They have their good years and their not so good years.
And it does bring to mind the question, you know, that it comes and goes, but does foraging, I don't know, I can't imagine it would harm nature or destroy it really in any way unless you were just overzealous.
Well, yes, and I don't know anybody who's overzealous who's just using it for their own use. I think some of the concerns have come from people commercially gathering, you know, to sell. I think that that's where we've probably seen concerns about over-harvesting.
Yeah. Somebody was wondering if there are plants, and I'm sure there are, plants that we should absolutely avoid.
Well, there's toxic plants we should absolutely avoid. as far as harvestable, you know, edible things, I don't think, I know there's concern around the wild leaks or ramps, as they're also called. And I also know, so here in Wisconsin, actually in the Ladysmith area, Sam Sayer is a nationally known expert on foraging and has written several books. And he is conducting some research on wild leaks and is finding out that for personal use, it's, the concern is not as great as it is in areas where they are actually, like, go through and take them all. And I think that's where the, you know, we don't want that. Go through and take them all so that you can sell them. That's where the concern is in the sustainability. I know he says always harvest in the way that does the least damage to the plant and its surroundings and never take more than the remaining population can easily replace.
Yeah.
So when I pick, like, say, in the spring when I pick fiddleheads, I take two or three per plant. I'm not going through and just taking everything from one area.
Well, otherwise you're not going to have anything the next year when you go back.
Right. And you want to think ahead.
So what are some of the popular foods people enjoy foraging here in across the state of Wisconsin?
I think the wild leeks are popular. Greens that you can put in a salad. I keep coming back to that because that really is my big thing. Nettles may not be the most popular, but they are very nutritious. And I think everybody I've served them to that has tried them has been enthusiastic about the flavor. They have more nutrition than spinach.
Yeah, very high vitamins content. Vitamin C, I think. And what else?
Nettles have a lot of plant protein, a high content of plant protein.
Interesting. Martha Wright, our guest, her book is called More Than Snow, and I want to get to that snow part of it, a bit later on, because she's even got kind of a recipe about snow. We haven't really gotten into her recipes yet, but we will. And you can join in with your own questions or comments. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. This whole business about pine needles. As soon as I saw that in the book, I thought immediately, here's giving my age away. I thought of Ewell Gibbons. Ewell Gibbons, do you know who Ewell Gibbons was, Martha?
Yes, of course. he really started the foraging movement.
He really started the foraging movement. And then he kind of, some people thought he sold out a little bit because he did some commercials. And his one commercial was, have you ever eaten a pine tree? Many parts are edible. He'd start that as that was the way he'd start that ad. And here it turns out, and I'm thinking, pine needles, how would that work? But they are good, and they're good for you.
Yes.
Well, we're going to talk some more about pine needles in just a minute, but Marcus in Milwaukee's on, so let's go to Marcus. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. So when I take and go for walks in, like, my neighborhood parks or in other natural areas, I like to go down to Seven Bridges in South Milwaukee. I will take with me a few strawberries, a few raspberries, a few blackberries, if I have some cherries or whatever. And so that way when I'm walking, I will take and toss these fruits onto the land to start putting food back onto the landscape, not only for ourselves, but also for others, so that animals can start spreading this. And so we start getting away from the monoculture, which we've developed, which is not useful to any of us.
No, Marcus, that is so cool. Comment on that, Martha.
That's an interesting idea. I hadn't thought of. I guess I live in an area where it's very wild and diverse anyway, so I don't think of that except when I do go walk in a city park and I see that, yes, we are limiting what grows in places like that.
Yeah.
Trimming and pruning and...
Fancy and pretty. Okay. But I kind of like that idea, Marcus. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Larry in Baraboo. Hi, Larry.
Well, thank you for having me on. I wasn't expecting that. I was a survival instructor in the military for years, and I just wanted to let your guests know you got to be careful of the sorrels no more than once a week because they'll interfere with absorption of other vitamins. But anyway, parsnips are, you know, a great food source, and they're all over Wisconsin. You have to know your parsnips, and you can still get them this time of year, along with chicory. It's all up and down every road. It's a great thing to put with coffee, or if you make a substitute coffee out of your acorns, it cuts down the acidity after you boil your acorns and prepare them. Everybody knows cattail roots, and but burdock root is a great source of flavor and sweetness. Just a few things.
Larry, thanks a lot for calling. Comments, Martha?
He's right on the sorrels. They do contain oxalic acid, and that there are some people that definitely need to avoid that entirely. And, yes, he's right. We do. We should limit that. That is I don't have it right in the front of my mind, but I believe that is one of the things that can contribute to kidney stones and also gout.
Mm. And chicory.
So do consume those. In. Chicory is something I see when I go a little farther south from where I live. Up here where I am, we don't have a lot of that. But that is one of the things that is used as a coffee substitute.
Yeah, I can remember reading stories, but going back to the Civil War times, that that turned out to be the coffee of a necessity for both the North and the South during the war, as I recall. Joe in Eau Claire will give you a chance. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I just this last summer successfully foraged my first mushrooms. I was brave enough and confident enough to actually eat what I've found. And I've been walking through the woods for a number of years and been a amateur, maybe not mycologist, but mushroom enthusiast. And I'm still kind of hesitant to put my mouth what I find. I'm curious to know how much of what I find out there might actually be poisonous here in Wisconsin, as far as the percentage of edible versus non-edible.
Mushrooms you're talking about now, Joe. There are some, and especially in the northern part of the state, there are some very poisonous mushrooms. But I'm not sure as to the numbers. Martha, are you?
I am not really a mushroom forager that much. I've, you know, morels, hen of the woods. I have not gone very far into the whole mushroom realm.
Yeah, and those the two that you mentioned are easier to identify, but yeah. I guess the caution is always if you're not sure, don't eat it. Don't eat
right.
it, but for
yep.
sure. Martha
right.
Wright, our guest today, the author of the book More Than Snow, A Guide to Winter Foraging. We've been talking about we've talked pine needles, we've talked acorns. She's not an acorn, but I think she's kind of a nut. Shannon Kleiber, back with us once again to talk with me and you about our year-end member drive. You know, your support, I mean, we just say it, but we really mean it. I mean, your support is vital to all of the programs here at WPR. It's our largest source of funding. We do say that, but sometimes I think it just kind of goes over people's head, but I want you to know that it really is vital. And so that's why we keep asking about it. I want you to take a couple of minutes right now. Take 2 minutes on this Giving Tuesday to support the programs you count on. Here's a year-end gift for you, tax deductible. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And Shannon, we got this big challenge. We haven't met it yet, but
That's
we're
right.
doing pretty well.
We're getting there, but we still need you out there. And you like Larry said, you hear it, you know that we need you. We know that this is our largest source of funding, and it just takes a couple minutes. And today is a great day to do it because it is the last day of WPR's Giving Tuesday Challenge. And a group of generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds when 500 people... So we're not there yet. We really need you. Step up to support the programs, just like the Larry Mueller Show, that you count on.
And they do it. Why do they do it? Well, they do it because they want to encourage you to join them in supporting these programs that inform and inspire you, I hope. And guess what? The entire state of Wisconsin.
Right. And we're talking about foraging, and we're talking about nuts. And, you know, Larry just kindly called me one, but that's okay. But we do have fun here, and we do work hard to create wonderful, informative conversations and programming. And to keep this going, your participation is vital. Be one of the 500 people to meet this challenge before midnight. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, if you've ever picked some nuts, some acorns, for example, and you think, oh, they're kind of bitter, guess what? In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be telling you how to get the bitterness out of those nuts. Martha Wright knows how to do it, and she covers it in her book, and she'll tell us a bit about it right on this show. If you want to ask her other questions, you can do that. Well, I think this is kind of a unique programming here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We try to enrich people's lives. Here we are, listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And as the donor, you get to decide how much to give. Maybe it's $100 or $200 a month. Whatever it is the right amount for you.
It might be what you spend every month on takeout or entertainment, for example. Things you enjoy that make life better, just like listening to this show, we hope, and all of WPR. The important thing is that you decide the amount right for you, and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm Eve Robillard. I've been a sustaining member for a long, long, long time, at least 30 years. I grew up in Kewaunee, Wisconsin, and I can remember in 1955, I was in eighth grade, and there was a program from Wisconsin School of the Air that our teacher would nicely put on, and it was called Let's Write.
The recorded Wisconsin School of the Air feature Let's Write. Here's Marie Applegate.
Good morning, boys and girls. Today is Cat Day. Well, you might say today that cats are our purpose. You'll pardon the pun, won't you?
And I got to write a few poems or something. And I still do that once in a while today.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org to get started now.
That is correct. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here. With Shannon Kleibert, your support during this program, I pause for a minute just to think about it. Your support during this drive really does make the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift, it could be $10 a month, it could be $20 a month. It's whatever you choose. That's the right amount.
Think of some things you can accomplish just in a few minutes. You might listen to a song, watch a TikTok, unload the dishwasher, make a salad. These might not change the world, but...
Making a gift to Wisconsin Public Radio, on the other hand, does make an important difference for your community. Your gift supports independent journalism, curated music, important conversations, and quality entertainment that you and hundreds of thousands of others rely on every day. So take the time, just two or three minutes, to make an impact with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And our Giving Tuesday challenge is still in effect. So when 500 people make a gift for WPR by end of day today, $25,000 from generous members will be secured for the WPR programs like this one that you rely on.
And, you know, I think one of the coolest things that we have is this food bank thank you gift, Shannon. You know, and as you listen, we've mentioned this, but I want to highlight that again. You can provide hunger relief in your specific area. You just ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts with your donation, and it could be $10 or $20 a month. Do it right now. It starts with your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That is a great way to make a difference in two ways at once. And now is also a great time if you're thinking about becoming a sustaining member. It is so easy to set up. You just do ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You don't have to think about it. You just keep supporting WPR throughout the year. And you can get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your contribution really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Thanks so much for joining in today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. My guest, Martha Wright, her book, More Than Snow, A Guide to Winter Foraging with Recipes for Holiday Cookies. And she's got some really good-looking cookies in her book. And we'll talk with her about those cookies and a whole lot more when it comes to foraging. You can join in, by the way. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Patricia emailed us, Martha, and commented wondering, what can rose hips be used for, and can they be harvested from any rose bush?
Yes, any rose bush. I used from wild roses because that's what I found, but I have seen some domestic rose bushes with some nice big rose hips on, and yes, they can also be harvested.
And so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Pesticide or herbicide use might be a concern if you're looking at using from a bona fide rose garden.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Patrice wonders, how do you use them?
You can make, I used them to make jelly, and I haven't really done anything else with them. So.
And what does the jelly come out? Is there a unique taste, or what is there something that, what does it resemble, or is there anything that it does resemble?
It was very mild when I was done with it. Very light colored, very mild taste. I don't know if I can really give it a resemblance to anything.
But it's a nice, mild, pleasant, pleasing taste.
Yes.
Let's go back to those pine needles for a little bit. Now, I can envision somebody grabbing off some pine needles and then stuffing them in their mouth, but I don't think that's the way it works.
No, that would be pretty coarse and chewy. I ground them up before I used them. I put them in my coffee grinder, broke them up a little bit, put them in the coffee grinder, and ground them to a powder before I used them in my cookies.
And backing up from that a bit, harvesting them, what do? Just go out and grab some off the branch?
Yeah, I did. I have trees that grow along my yard where the branches are low and I can reach them easily. I just kind of work my way around the tree and take a few in each spot. I don't want to make the tree look bare. I harvested all the needles along this side of the tree, and you can tell. I try to move around and, take from different spots on the tree, different trees in the row.
Yeah. And is it, I mean, are there particular pines that you prefer?
I have white pine here. You can use red pine. You can use spruce needles, too. They're the short, pokey ones, but be careful you don't use from the yew tree. That has short needles also, but they are toxic.
Oh, you are toxic.
Yes.
Not you, but YEW. Yeah,
right. They are flat, and they kind of spiral around the branch, and then the yew tree doesn't have cones. It has red berries.
So we're going to be talking and zeroing in some more on those pine needles, because I'm curious to know a bit more, although I did read the book, and it's pretty well explained in the book. But Martha's going to also give us more detail on that. And also there's a couple of other things I wanted to talk with her about, too. And that has, I had written some notes on my own sheet of paper here asking about, wanting to ask you about getting the tannins out of acorns. And we'll talk about that in a minute. I probably could have just asked Shannon to come in and tell me how to do it, because I'm sure you're the... Are you the queen of foragers here at Wisconsin Public Radio?
I'm not sure I'd say that, but I have been thinking about, as you've been talking with Martha, about my epic black walnut tree in my backyard. We have hundreds and hundreds of black walnuts that fall. And every year I think, I'm going to do something with them. And every year they just turn into mush and the squirrels take them. And the kids we used to pay them 25 cents to pick up a bucket. And now they're teenagers. So
they won't do that anymore. They don't listen to mom and
dad. So what can I do with these black walnuts?
Well, that's one of the questions that Martha's going to answer. But first, we need to talk about our drive, because here we are. Almost at the top of the hour on Giving Tuesday. It's, what is it? That's a global celebration of generosity, and your financial support is the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy here on the show and all of our shows every day. So choose WPR this Giving Tuesday and make your tax-deductible year-end gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You can make an even greater impact today when you give now, because of this $25,000 that will be released when 500 people, and we are getting there, but we're not there yet, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by end of day today.
A group of generous members have created this Giving Tuesday challenge to inspire your support of the programs you and your entire community rely on.
And we would love to meet this challenge. Right, Larry? We're getting there. We're getting there, right?
You know, I said at the start of the show, we were right at 300, and I said, you know, I'm hoping we can make at least 400 by the end of this show. And here we are at 391.
We are getting there.
We still need
a few more. We still need a few more. So any amount right now makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Silke Schmidt. I am originally from Germany, and we've lived in Madison since January 2012. For me, radio is really a way to get information. In general, I just really enjoy the variety. I feel like, especially if you're a newcomer to Wisconsin, listening to WPR is just a really good way to be introduced to the state.
Make your contribution today, because listener support makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Give now at WPR.org and click Donate.
Page 16 on the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Shannon Kleiber. The programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. There's no two ways about it. And your contribution might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, it makes a big difference for the entire community.
We are at 391 gifts right now, and as you know, you've been listening, we are trying to get to 500 people today to contribute by the end of the day on this two-day Giving Tuesday challenge. WPR will secure an additional $25,000 if we get there.
It'd be so cool to get to. I didn't think we'd get to 400, but we're almost there. What about you? Help us out right now with your gift. Donate. Let's get up to 400 by the top of the hour at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I'm hoping you're enjoying this exciting challenge.
You might spend $20 going out for drinks or dinner, maybe even every single weekend. And in the greater scheme of things, $20 is not a big expense, especially if it's just a month.
Yeah, especially if it's, just a monthly thing. And here we've got our matching challenge funds, 500 people, including you, step up and support the programs you count on. If we get to 500 by the end of the day today, we get that extra $25,000 that Shannon was talking about. And if you're a sustaining member, I might just say making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much, but might be a day to increase. That would add another another person to the total. Maybe you want to add $5 or $10 a month. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We're going to have to go away now for a few minutes for the news, but we'll be back and talk some more with Martha Wright. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller with Shannon Kleiber. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're taking a look at a new book out. It's called More Than Snow, A Guide to Winter Foraging with Recipes for Holiday Cookies. It's a really cool book and not expensive either. Martha Wright is the author. And she's with us today to talk about foraging, what you and I and Shannon and everybody else can forage for, and how to make cookies out of it, for one thing at least. Join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. And Shannon, you were talking about black walnuts just before we broke for news.
Right, yeah.
So tell me again.
Yeah, we have in Wisconsin this epic black walnut tree in our backyard, and hundreds fall every year, and we pick them up, and every year I think, I'm going to do something with this. I'm going to cook with them. I'm going to dry them out. Our kids, we used to pay them 25 cents to pick up a bunch of them in a bucket, but now they don't really want to do that anymore. And so I was wondering, you know, how do you deal with its black walnuts without all the black tannins getting everywhere and the squirrels already have sort of munched them all up?
What do you think, Martha?
They are one hard nut to crack.
No
yes,
kidding.
They are.
Along with the butternuts that seem to be making a little bit of a comeback. They had died out for a while, but there is. So I used a hammer and a straight-bladed screwdriver to crack mine open. You mentioned the tannins. Definitely, if you're going to take that outer husk off while it is still soft, you want to wear gloves. The husk of black walnuts can be used to make a dye. It lasts a while.
We always use rubber gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Otherwise, I made the mistake. I mean, all I did was squeeze it just to see, and it popped. The skin popped a little, and my hands were brown for quite a while.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you hit it with a hammer, and you chop it up, or you have to let it dry first or something, right?
Yes. You'd let it dry out a little bit. So last summer, I picked some butternuts off the tree in probably August, and I think it was October when I took the hammer to them and opened them up and picked out the nut meats. There is one, I'm not sure what company makes it, but there is one nutcracker that is billed as being able to crack black walnuts and butternuts. The nutcracker is called Grandpa's Goody Getter. Have to look that up online.
It's probably one with a long handle, so you get a little leverage. I wonder.
It looks like a little hydraulic cylinder, actually.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, I don't know if that is what it is. I don't personally own one. But
so wait a minute. Tell me the name of that again. Yeah, tell me the name of that one again.
Grandpa's Goody Getter.
Grandpa's Goody Getter.
I'm going to have to look for that, and then I will pick some walnuts off the ground and get to them before the squirrels do this year.
Yeah.
And is there? Do you have to get the tannins out of that too? Soak the tannins out?
No.
You don't.
Some people recommend taking that husk off before it dries because they think the tannins can leach through into the nut. I haven't found that to be a problem. I usually just let them dry. And once that outer husk is dry, then I crack them open.
You know, Mark in Wisconsin Dells has something relating to those husks. Let's go there. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Larry. Yeah, when I was a kid, I watched a guy do this who worked with my father. Take a pickup truck with a chain for snow, a two-wheel drive pickup truck, and jack up that drive wheel, put it in the air, build a little sluice with wood that fits over the tire, and then get the height right, and then take your walnuts with the husks on them and turn on the car and put it in drive and pour them through the sluice. And the nuts fall in one pile and the husks fall in another.
Oh, that's how to get the husks
out.
I'm going to try that.
What do you think, Martha?
That sounds like a good idea. Anything to make the process easier.
I love
especially
that.
If you're going to do several, you know, if you're going to do a large quantity.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mark, thanks. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Jolene in Chippewa Falls has another method, I think. Let's go there. Hi,
okay.
Jolene.
Yes. Hello. My husband just told me the easiest way to open a black walnut or a butternut is to put it the long ways in a vise and slowly close the vise, and it'll just pop and crack open, and you get a whole nut meat then.
Oh, have you tried that one, Martha?
I haven't tried it, but I think I suggested it in my book that a vise would be a good thing to use.
Jolene, thank you. Well, a lot of people, including myself, have vices. So, well, I have the kind that you can crack. No, I have other vices that don't involve cracking nuts, but the kind that you can tighten, I have got one of those too. Well, Jolene, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Peter in Appleton's got something else. Let's go there. Hi, Peter.
Hi. I'm wondering if there are any foraging clubs. I'm from Appleton, so in the area, where you could just get out with some other people who know what they're looking at and do some foraging.
Yeah. Martha?
Yes. There is it's Midwest Foraging, I can't remember, Midwest Foraging Network or something like that. There are some weekend, like maybe you'd call them seminars, that happen more in the fall that you can join, and they take actual walks out in the outdoors and point things out, help people learn to identify, have classes, workshops.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I think the best way to learn is to go out with somebody who knows what the heck they're doing and then actually look at what you find and study it a little bit. Maybe you take a photo with your phone or something. But it's a good way to imprint in your head what's there, what it is, and is it okay to eat it? Yeah.
Exactly.
So foraging clubs, Peter, the Midwest Foraging Network, if you type that in, it's probably going to pop up.
If you put Midwest Foraging into Facebook, I think their group will come up. I'm not sure on the network part. I can't remember what the
but it'll come up on
full
Facebook.
Name of it is, but yeah.
Okay. Glenda emailed us. She says her neighbor has tapped walnut trees in their backyards and says the syrup is really good. It doesn't have to be maples.
No, there are other trees that can be tapped also. I know some people tap birch trees.
Birch trees can be tapped as well. I think the difference comes, like with birch, you're not going to get as much sap as you're going to get out of a maple. And a lot of it involved, there's a lot of involvement of boiling down the what the sap that you get, which is, you know, mostly water. So you
right.
The reason maples get used is because they probably have a better volume of the syrup versus the water part of it. And oak trees are absolutely fantastic trees. They provide food for so many insects and animals, including us. Nature's perfect food store, I think, for a whole lot of insects and animals. Nikki in Milwaukee sent us an email. She asked if there's any toxicity to pine. Have you ever come across information addressing this topic, and what are your thoughts? And you do talk about, I believe, a little bit about that in your book, Martha.
I don't think pine itself, the actual pine that I'm talking about using, has any toxicity. You just want to be aware of, like I said, the yew tree is toxic. Also, not a pine, but cypress and cedar, they're not edible.
Yeah, those are a couple of others as well. Grant emailed. He wonders how acorns should be treated before using in baking. Can they be milled? So I think, and it's probably worth it to go through this, the whole process on acorns.
Okay. So I haven't done anything with, like, the whole acorn meats for leaching out the tannins, so I can't speak to, you know, it took me this long or anything like that, but the leaching process is still, you're kind of rinsing those tannins out of the nuts with repeated changes of water or under running water. I've actually seen some people have suggested putting it in a bag in your toilet tank, because your toilet tank is fresh water coming in. I'm really not interested in having tannins in my toilet tank. I think it would stain the tank. But I was using the meal. So I ground the nuts first and then put them in a jar with water, shook the jar, put it in the refrigerator overnight, drained the water off the next day, put on fresh water. And I did that for a week before I was satisfied with the flavor of the meal.
Yeah, you taste, as I'm remembering from your book, you just taste a little bit each day and say, okay, this is nice. I still need to do this another day, and so forth and so on until you got it right.
Yes.
So for you, it took a week. For others, it might take a little longer, or it might take a little less.
It might take less. I did taste the difference this year. I tried white oak and red oak, and the white oak definitely has a better flavor starting out. So I've heard that white oak will take less time. That's probably true.
So your book, now tell us, how do we get copies of your book, More Than Snow?
It's available on Amazon.com.
Available on Amazon.com, Martha Wright. And I wanted to get that in, frankly, before we ended, because I sometimes forget that. And so I wanted to mention that. How do you see the future of foraging? You think more people?
There's a lot of interest in it right now. I think it's becoming something more popular and will probably continue.
Well, I think you're right. And the recipes you have in your book, and by the way, I believe the pine needle sugar cookies, you allowed us to post that recipe on our site. And I really want to thank you for that. So ideas at WPR.org/Larry or WPR.org/Larry if you go to today's date. And look under the notes, program notes or comments section. I can't forget which. The recipe for the pine needle cookies is there. And the other recipes, and I'm trying to remember them all now, but they are some really good-looking cookies, because you baked them all. I know there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different cookie recipes, and they all looked absolutely delicious. Thank you so much, Martha, for spending some time with us today and talking about this. So go online. The title of the book, again, is More Than Snow, A Guide to Winter Foraging with Recipes for Holiday Cookies. And she ends the book on snow. And you're just going to have to look into her snow and maple syrup recipe that she's got at the end of the book. Martha Wright, our guest. And Shannon Kleiber, here we are again.
Here we are again. We're back.
We can't keep meeting like this.
I think that we need to have a black walnut chopping competition. We got four ideas, right? What is the best way to crack a black walnut and use it in your cooking?
And I tell you what, this book, and by the way, the book is very reasonably priced, under $10 for sure. And I think you're going to really enjoy More Than Snow. And all the recipes are included in the book. Here we are in our year-end member drive celebrating Giving Tuesday on the Ideas Network. And as you've listened, I hope you've enjoyed the show. And I hope you count on WPR for discussions like this. And your support keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference. So what do? You go right now to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
That's right, Larry. And today is the last day of WPR's Giving Tuesday Challenge. A group of generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds when 500 people, including you, and we are getting there. We are so close. We're at 394 right now. But we need more. We need you. So are you ready to step up to support the programs you count on?
Yeah. I mean, here are these wonderful members who have contributed, and then they threw in some extra money and said, hey, let's encourage others to join in supporting the shows. And so we'll do this matching grant, and hopefully that'll help out. And it's going to mean more programming for you to listen to and for everybody in the state.
Your participation is absolutely vital. Be one of the 500 people to meet this challenge before midnight. And it starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you never know what you're going to hear on this program. There's who'd have thunk that we would have been spending time talking about how to crack a black walnut?
Right. The foraging. All the foraging.
Or how to make these wonderful cookies that we now have up on our site, the pine needle. I got to find the right title for it. Oh, well. I can't find it now, of course, when I'm looking for it.
The pine needle cookies.
The pine needle cookies. Yeah. We'll call it that. But I tell you what, we cover lots of environmental topics. We do a lot of consumer issues. We do gardening, how-to topics. We put Wisconsin first, from authors and books to food to history and even sports. On this program, we try to do that every day. And you get some great advice on topics that I think impact your life and your community. And it's possible, all of it, because of your financial support. So now would be a good time to support this program and all of our programs. If you haven't done so already, your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
And during this member drive, there's an additional special offering. This is really a wonderful idea. Yeah, I do too, Larry. You can ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts, and there are options available for $10 or $20 a month. Your donation to WPR will power essential news and quality entertainment, and your thank you gift will provide hunger relief to people in your community.
Here's a New Year's resolution you can take care of in just a few minutes. And it's one you'll be glad to keep. You want to support your source of information, entertainment, and inspiration? Well, do it right now. Make your gift to WPR at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your radio station. It is the one that wakes you up in the morning, it rides with you on your commute, and it keeps you company during the day.
And one of the cool things about it is that you get to decide how much to pay for the programs that you enjoy. I know a lot of first-time donors give $100, or maybe they give $10 a month. But you pick the amount that's right for you.
That's right. And your gift, along with the donations from other listeners, add up to WPR's largest source of funding. Join the team right now. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You learned a lot from listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this year.
I learned that democracy is at risk, and I learned that I valued democracy.
I learned about it a lot in neat places on Wisconsin Life, places I've since visited.
One of my favorite segments was the science of purring on sexual time. I always love learning cat facts.
Preserving my garden vegetables from this lady who was so passionate about preserving garden vegetables. She made me fired up.
Here's one more fact before the year ends. The largest source of funding for the news, conversations, and music on WPR is listener support. Your support. Now that you know, make your year-end contribution for WPR. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Shannon Kleiber's. Great to have you listening in today during our year-end member drive. And your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has a big impact.
And it is so easy. Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
You know, I do it every single time. I talk myself in every drive we have. I talk myself into adding. So I've had a lot of experience with it, and it really only does take a couple of minutes.
It's so easy.
I usually do it right after the show. Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So don't wait like Larry till after the show's over. Give right now. Now would be a great time. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a great value. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
Works out to $30 a month, and you can change or you can set up a monthly transfer from your bank account, or maybe you want to charge it to your credit card. I hope I know a lot of people do that. Make your gift right now. It's the amount that's right for you, in the amount that's right for you, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The news never stops, and you rely on the high-quality coverage you get on Wisconsin Public Radio to stay informed. And that's why we're here to talk to you at the year-end member drive, and your gift is so important.
And here we are coming up to the time when Shannon and I have to go away. If you haven't made a contribution yet, I hope you'll do it. Think about it. Think of how much could I give, and then go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution. Thanks so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't contributed, do it right now for Shannon and Larry.
We really appreciate it. Thank you.